I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, August 22nd, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Some quick announcements. I'm going to tell you, I've got Deanne Burley. Now, Deanne Burley is a host on the RBN Network. She has a show on Saturday nights from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. Central Time, and I had an email that one of my listeners sent me. When I was on the subject of Leo Wanton, I brought up an article about Sherman Skolnick. I was reading it, and I got an email from a listener that said that, you know, Deanne Burley was a good friend of Sherman Skolnick's. I thought, well, I'll give her a call. So I brought her up, I called her, and I wanted to bring her up and talk about Sherman because I've read quite a bit of his work. A fascinating guy, very meticulous journalist. He unfortunately passed away last year. I want to talk about that. Also possibly get into a little bit of the alternative theories of 9/11 because I know that Deanne Burley had Judy Wood up on her show, the other night along with Morgan Reynolds and Alfred Weber. But before we get to Deanne, I want to mention to you, go into my website at www.theamericanawakening.org. Again, that's theamericanawakening.org. You can click on guests, and you can see ahead of time the upcoming guests I have coming on my show. Today it's Deanne Burley, of course, and tomorrow, first hour, is going to be Don Nikoloff talking a little bit about Wantagate and possibly even a bit about Karl Rove and his departure from the White House, which was rather interesting. Also, second hour tomorrow, I have Mark Lerner, who's going to tell us about the Real ID Act, which is looming on the horizon. And then, of course, Friday, I've got none other than my friend Jim Fetzer coming up on the air, and we're going to talk a little bit more about alternative theories. See what else Jim has come up with regarding that issue. It should be an interesting show, but I would suggest to everybody to go into theamericanawakening.org, and also you can click on, I have a link to Freedom to Fascism up there now, so anybody that wants to can just go in, click on it, watch the movie, and they don't have to send an email to Bobby to wait for their copy in the mail. And you can also notify your friends, neighbors, and relatives to go in there and watch it for themselves. I had a good conversation last night with one of my listeners, Joe, and in that conversation we were talking about how to approach people. Joe's having some trouble with that. Matter of fact, Joe lives here in the Valley, so I'm going to meet with him later on this week, possibly the weekend, have a cup of coffee. And as I mentioned to Joe last night, you know, it gets to the place where you get so frustrated of going out and trying to wake these people up. In my mind, the best thing to do is to just tell these people that you watched a movie the other night on this particular website and to say, I'd really appreciate your opinion about this because I value your intelligence and your opinion, so watch it for me and tell me your thoughts. That's very harmless. You plant a seed, and it may blossom from there. Also, the reason I wanted to talk a little bit about these theories is because on the History Channel last night, or the night before, for those of you who do not know, there was a really major hit piece that was done by the History Channel on 9/11, of course, trying to debunk all the 9/11 alternative theories. And so it should be an interesting show today. I can't wait to get Deanne up and on the air because, as I said, I've read quite a bit of Sherman Skolnick's work, and this guy was meticulous. He's gone into, done a lot of reporting on a number of different issues. And what I want to touch on today is indeed 9/11. I wanted to talk to Deanne a little bit about her guests the other night, Judy Wood, Morgan Reynolds, and Alfred Weber, and to get her thoughts on exactly what she feels about this whole thing. But I'm thinking probably first hour is going to be spent on Sherman Skolnick because, as a lot of you know, I've had emails in the past regarding Leo Wanta, and in Sherman Skolnick's writings, He has brought up Leo Wanta, along with a former and late press conference or press reporter, Sarah McClendon. And there are others as well. So I'm going to go to a break. I'll be back in three. My guest will be up, Deanne Burley. Look forward to having a great show. And stick with me. I'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah. DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories.
Back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I just got a message from my board op that he's having a little difficulty getting a hold of Deanne. So I've just told him to keep trying. In the meantime, I wanted to mention, as I said before, that I was going to have her up on the show today to discuss Sherman Skolnick, who passed away last year. She was evidently a very good friend of his. And I've used some of Sherman Skolnick's research, and I've broadcast it on the air. But while we're waiting for her, I wanted to mention I ran across another article. And this is a mainstream article from Newsmax.com regarding Leo Wanta by Jeff Metcalf. And it was posted Monday, September 18th, 2006. I do an extensive job of continuing to go down the rabbit hole, if you will, on Leo Wanta to see if I can find anything negative to discredit this story, and I haven't. But I wanted to read this to you while we're waiting on Deanne, and because this particular story raises a cacophony of questions, according to Jeff Metcalf. So let me read this to you. It says, "The stupid neither forgive nor forget, the naive forgive and forget, and the wise forgive but do not forget." And that's by Thomas Szasz. Who is Ambassador Leo Wanta? If only half of what can be found about him with a little effort is true, he should be, now I emphasize, he should be, folks, a household name. He should be investigated, interviewed, and 60 Minutes-ized. Time and Newsweek would have dueling covers, and Mike Wallace would be announcing his return. Most people have never heard of him, however, and the mainstream media are conspicuously avoiding him and what could be a huge story. Wanta is a cacophony of questions. Is he the President Ronald Reagan appointed trustor of trillions of dollars intended to be distributed to America? Who, despite his diplomatic privilege, was extradited from Switzerland for allegedly owing Wisconsin back taxes? Was sentenced to a long term? Then, after writing to Hillary Clinton about Bill Clinton's short-term notes, got a letter from Erskine Bowles, followed by a quick government get-out-of-jail card. Was allegedly instrumental in collapsing the Russian economy? Was he? Is either a brilliant hero or a manipulative con man, but the mainstream issue any inquiry? And if so, why? According to multiple sources, Wanta is attempting to repatriate $4.5 trillion back into the U.S. economy. Yes, trillion. That is not a typo. As of my writing this, our national debt was $8.5 trillion. Now it's about $9 trillion, folks. That's $8,532,356,592,155.72. And as we know, that goes up existentially by the minute. The national debt has continued to grow an average of $170 billion per day. So where did all these trillions of dollars allegedly come from? No thanks to the either lazy or complicit mainstream media, search engines provide a lot of data worth either reporting or debunking. But the silence is deafening. I often note that it is not a question of who is right or wrong, but what is right or wrong that counts. In researching the Wanta trillions, several of the most prolific sources are admittedly on the internet fringe. Many are gadflies and provocateurs. However, there are also substantive, credible sources supporting the "even a broken clock is right twice a day" axiom. Meanwhile, the mainstream media that spent months on the debunking Joe Wilson-Valerie Plame kerfuffle haven't done jack about Wanta. The International Currency Review's Christopher Story claims to have gotten the ambassador of a major foreign power to deliver to every New York newspaper his reports on the Wanta story. Reportedly, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal have the information and have chosen to ignore it. You have to ask yourself why. The International Currency Review reports, on the assumption that, as originally planned, the win-win above-board taxable transactions had started up with effect from July 1, 2006, and that the U.S. Treasury would have earned around $200 billion of windfall taxes per banking day from that date forward, we calculate that the Treasury has so far deprived itself of on-the-books windfall taxes amounting to an estimated $10.6 trillion. If true, that would wipe out our national debt and put us back in the black. Two major U.S. law firms reportedly helped negotiate the significant settlement that constitutes only a portion of the $27 trillion offshore fund established at the end of the Cold War. The New York Times or the Wall Street Journal could easily vet Wanta's story and either reduce it to the trash heap of internet urban legends or launch an investigation that would make Enron look like a small yellow hole in a Montana snowbank. Is the White House getting pressure from foreign banks and heads of state to release the $4.5 trillion? One source reports Wanta verbally agreed to the distribution of $4.5 trillion with President Bush along with the assistance of one Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court judge and two U.S. Supreme Court justices. Michael C. Cottrell, treasurer of the company formed specifically to distribute the money, claims the Chinese have already taken $5 trillion of the alleged $32 trillion they are owed. To paraphrase P.J. O'Rourke, giving $5 trillion to the Chi-Coms is like giving whiskey and a car keys to a teenage boy. Wanta drops names, big names, the way a New York City pigeon decorates statues. If you subscribe to the strangeness of the suspicious death lists floating through cyberspace during the Clinton years, Wanta should top the list for someone as a candidate for a heart attack or a car accident. I'd agree with that. Some of the names Wanta references are dead. Vince Foster, Bill Casey. Many, however, are still around like President George H.W. Bush and Jim Baker. I confess I don't know what I don't know. I also concede that some of the stuff surrounding the Wanta story doesn't pass the smell test. However, the lack of reportage on the story that potentially could be gargantuan fuels even more questions. Now, this is a mainstream article, and it's the only mainstream article, folks, that I have been able to find regarding the issue of Leo Wanta. And he doesn't really poo-poo it. Okay, he puts it out there and he says, is it true? Is it not true? And of course, as you know, the behind the scenes investigation that I have done on an ongoing basis, and believe me, it wasn't the behest of me saying, okay, I want to report this. I got several emails from listeners over the course of time who were asking me to report on it or why I wasn't reporting on it, and if not, give it to John Stantmiller and let him report on it and so forth. And I know that many talk show hosts have declined to report on this at all, and probably a lot of it has to do with the extreme complexity and the ongoing soap opera, if you will, of the activity, the ongoing cover-up, if you will. So I chose to report on this, and I found after, you know, getting into this, that it's something that can't go unreported. Once you start, you're going down a path and you can't turn around. But as I have investigated this, there have been many articles that have popped up, and I started uncovering people that did ask questions about this back on, in the late 90s, for example. Sarah McClendon, who was a reporter, press reporter, she used to be, attend the press conferences in the Clinton administration, and she actually arose questions about Leo Wanta, and they seemed to conveniently sweep him under the carpet. So, and as I mentioned before on previous shows, I've had a professional associate of mine go into Pacer, find out indeed the lawsuit that was, or the writ of mandamus that was filed in West Virginia back on June 20th is indeed true. I have copies of the subpoenas that were issued and have been received by Henry Paulson and others. So, yeah, I ask myself the question on a continuing basis, why would somebody that is creating a deception go to this length and involve the court system if there isn't something to this? And then I go back to Sherman Skolnick. Sherman Skolnick was writing about this, and for those of you who have read his work, I mean, he's a meticulous, very, very well documented journalist, or he's deceased now. Yet, from what I understand, he had connections in the intelligence faction and used some of those connections for some of his reporting. So I have to continue along with this. Now, I've got Don Nikoloff coming up tomorrow for an hour, and he's going to give us any updates if there are any. And also, I think he's going to cover a little bit of Karl Rove and Karl Rove's exit out of the White House. But what fascinates me about this story, and again, I equate it kind of, folks, to like a soap opera, because it's been going on now for quite some time. It touches on, let's see, what would it be, one, two, three, four administrations, and it seems that everybody continually wants to sweep it up under the rug, but they, you know, you mentioned the name, and they look like they're a deer caught in the headlights. So I know there's something to this, and I know that if I was trying to play a charade, I certainly wouldn't involve the court system in such an endeavor, because that would definitely jump up to bite one in the rear end. So as I follow along with this, and I want to mention to all of the audience that as I follow along with this, okay, if indeed I ever find anything at all that is negative or that can debunk this story, I will be the first to step up to the plate. But investigating this for over a year, I can tell you I have to date found nothing. Okay, enough of my rambling. I understand I have Deanne Burley on the line now. Deanne, are you with me?
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It sounds like we got messed up on the times here, huh?
Yeah, just a little. Some things came up. And, I thank you very much for inviting me on your program.
Oh, that's not a problem at all. I heard you substituting for John Stantmiller last week, and I tune into your show once in a while. As I mentioned to my listening audience, you have a show on Saturday nights, 10 to 1 a.m. Central Time, and I know that, last week you had Judy Wood on there, Morgan Reynolds, and Alfred Weber. You were talking about the 9/11 alternative theories, and I'd like to get into that a little bit with you and get your take on that. But before I do so, I had mentioned to you off the air, I had I've been doing research on Leo Wanta, and I ran across his name in a report by Sherman Skolnick way back in 2001. And I got an email from one of my listeners who had told me that you were indeed a good friend of Leo Wanta. And so
not Leo Wanta, but a good friend of Sherman
Skolnick. I'm sorry. Okay. Hold the line we're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's get into this with Sherman Skolnick. Okay, Deanne? Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Deanne Burley. Be right back.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Deanne Burley. And we're going to talk a little bit today about Sherman Skolnick, who was evidently a pretty good friend of Deanne Burley's. Deanne, tell me, how long did you know Sherman?
Oh, I knew him really going back as far as the 80s. And I met him during the time when I was at Operation Push. And I knew of his work. In fact, the law firm I used to work for was one of the ones that was involved with the Gray Warrant scandal investigation in Chicago. And anyway, there were things that I would send him and feed to him in regards to information over the generation, really. And then he started putting people on the show. So I helped him with putting some of his guests on Broadside. And it lasted, I would say, close to like maybe 3-4 years.
I see. Okay, now tell me, for the listeners who don't know, Sherman Skolnick was a brilliant journalist, and he was a meticulous researcher. I've read quite a bit of his work, and I cease to be fascinated every time I read a story, and he still has a website up there, which is literally almost a library of information on just about every different issue you can name. I wanted to ask you, from your perception and the fact that you were a friend of his, was there any truth to the rumor that Sherman Skolnick had connections in the intelligence community for getting some of his reporting?
Yes, indeed. In fact, he trained some of the intelligence community. He offered up a class in one of the colleges in the Chicagoland area for intelligence officers, and he had a number of people that were in the intelligence field who contacted him continuously. One of the stories I thought was really interesting, he had a phone line where he would have people call in and give testimony and stories. And this was when the lady Diana had died. And there was an MI6 officer, and he had him on the recording. And the officer spoke of the fact that, you know, Diana's death was not just a mere tragedy, it was something else. So, you know, Sherman had many contacts. And I went to his funeral, and a lot of them were there.
Well, tell us a little bit. I know he passed away, what was it, in July of 2006, right?
Is that... I think around that time, yeah.
Okay. Tell me, in your opinion, Sherman Skolnick didn't just pass away normally. He was basically taken out. Is that right?
Yeah, I feel that when I went, I was in the hospital myself. I had a heart attack, and I had gotten out of the hospital when I found out he was in a hospital in Oak Lawn. I found out where he was, and I went and visited him. And the day I went there, he had already colded out. And that means in medical terms that he had died. And they resuscitated him. So anyway, I got in the hospital the day that he was resuscitated. And I was shocked to find out that he was given some type of blood thinning medication that later on it came out that he was allergic to. And they continued to give him the same medication. I called him the second time when I came in there, and I told the nursing staff that why are you giving him the same medication if he colded out on this stuff twice? He colded out on once when I got there. He colded out on the second time, and they gave it, still was giving it to him, and he was complaining to me that they wouldn't listen to him, and they kept giving him that same medication.
And what was their reply to that when you asked them the question?
Well, the nurse looked at me kind of like really strange, and she said she would call the doctor. And the doctor came, and he said, oh, I didn't know. And, you know, then he kind of acted as though, you know, he had to have knowledge that he was, you know, had died twice and resuscitated off the medicine. So why would you continue to give him the same drug? And it was that blood thinner, Coumadin. So anyway, he had taken the medication, pulled it out, and I talked to him briefly while I was there, and he was kind of hard of hearing. So the nurses there were saying things to him, screaming at him, and they didn't take into consideration that he couldn't hear. So then they were trying to say that he had Alzheimer's or some type of dementia, that he didn't understand what was going on. So then what they were trying to do, which they did, was they put him as being a ward and custodian of the state.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so then there were, individuals that, had told other individuals to start getting rid of his documentation, and I intervened in regards to that. But I feel very strongly, because of the situation he was in with folks in the White House, that they had put him on the list, no flying list and all these other kind of things, that he was, quickly eliminated through hospital needs. And I've had people from the medical professional on my program to discuss these things that they've been doing through corporations within the hospital structure where they can, help fasten somebody along, to help them die. So that's why I'm very suspicious, and I feel very strongly that he was euthanasia.
And the people, the nurses and the doctors that were there, I mean, they knew that this was more than just a patient. They knew who he was, right? Deanne?
Yes, they did. They knew exactly who he was. And that's the thing, the whole thing. I think that's why they were helping him.
Okay. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in three. Stick with me, Deanne. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Deanne Burley, who also has a show on RBN Saturday nights from 10 p.m. Central to 1 a.m. Central. So you want to tune in for that. Very informative talk show host with a lot of great guests. Now, I wanted to ask you before we move on here, Deanne, has anybody launched any kind of an investigation into the surroundings of Sherman Skolnick's death?
Nope, just what I did. I started looking into the aspect of what was going on in the hospital because I had already been working with cases of elder abuse in the Chicagoland area where people were complaining about their loved ones being basically thrown into nursing homes and then their property ransacked through the judicial system. And I started seeing the illegal conveyance of deeds. So Sherman was one of these. I was looking into that aspect. That indeed was one thing I did note, but as far as any investigation, nothing, nothing at all. And then the other thing, too, this is not something, it's just uncommon. They are doing this in a number of hospitals all around the country. You know, they can, through administration of the hospital, if somebody doesn't like you politically, they can just basically say to disconnect you or whatever. And there's a lot of people trying to get heard about it, but in Illinois, our Attorney General Lisa Madigan, has refused many of the people to come to me to open up and investigate these types of cases.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just limited to Chicago. That is a subject that hits home to me because my mother, rest her soul, she was an Alzheimer's patient, and the last 5 years of her life, she spent in a nursing home. And what I find fascinating about this, and I think in my mind there is, a very quiet, covert euthanasia program, and this is only my opinion based upon what happened to my mother, that goes on behind the scenes, because what is coincidental about my mother's demise was that she was in a nursing home for 5 years, and her money was spent all the way down to where I had to place her on Medicaid. And before the final papers were even drafted for Medicaid, my mother mysteriously died of pneumonia. And in the transcripts of the records, she went into the hospital for pneumonia and she died. I found out that they had given her, after they had diagnosed her with pneumonia, they had given her a pneumonia shot, which I had never even heard of before. Why would you give somebody a pneumonia shot when they already have pneumonia?
Well,
that didn't make it.
That's what I'm talking about, and it's going on. Like, for instance, right now, there's a scandal going on with the hospitals giving Zantac and Peptic, and it's noted in the New England Journal of Medicine that Peptic and these drugs give African-Americans Alzheimer's and also dementia. So what it does is it causes, the situation of people going into Alzheimer's. Why are they giving it in large doses to people when they go in the hospital? And it's in the New England Journal. Then the other thing, the pressing issue is, too, they tell people that I found out through people that are involved with it, and some of them are insiders, they have nurses that are not nurses. Registered nurses that are not nurses in these hospitals that are in there to euthanize your patients. And I have information from people in regards to reporting this, and they have reported it to the authorities in not only Illinois but outside. And the thing is, none of these so-called people that are supposed to be vested to investigate will do anything.
When you say the nurses that aren't nurses, what are they if they're not nurses? They're what?
Various countries, and they come here, and they might have nursing licensing or doctoring licensing in their country, but they have to go, in, according to our laws, go through medical school just like everyone else and be retrained. And these people are not registered, or have they gone through classes. So they come in, and they're hired in a hospital as RNs and things. I know this for a fact. I saw something a long time ago that this occurred.
Well, it's interesting because in my mother's case, as I said, she spent 5 years in a home, and then when her assets were spent down and I had to apply for Medicaid on her behalf, they transfer into a Medicaid-approved facility, which coincidentally, as you speak, had a lot of foreign, a lot of Filipino, so-called.
That's exactly the point. And see, the money laundering technique is going through the court system, because what they do is they take legal writ over the person, the patient, and then they take the property that they have and they transfer it over to somebody appointed through the court. And then that person that was appointed through the court will act as the owner of the property and lease it out. They will sell it. They will rehab it. They will do all types of stuff with this property. And this is one of the reasons why this housing bubble happened. A lot of the seniors were living in very, nice communities, houses when they purchased them. Some of them were $26,000. Some of them were in the $50,000 range. And what has happened is because of this situation through the court system, corrupt people got a hold of them and started bulking into these properties, draining all of the money out of it, assets out, and then what they would do was put it back in the market for a lot more money, sell it, and the proceeds would go back to probate court. So this is why I found that out here, which is, I think, enough evidence for the U.S. attorney and the state attorney in Illinois to look into, and they refused.
Yeah, so it shows that it goes a lot higher up than what they want us to know, and it's basically a cabal. It's the good old boy group. It's a covert operation. And in my mother's case, she had run out of money So they euthanized her.
From there, she's in the nursing home. She's in there for a certain length of time, and they get money from the state funds for that. It's kind of like it's a laundering technique they do. And then after that course runs out, then the next thing, she's ready for burial. But the state controls all of this, and there's massive amounts of money in this. And it's kind of like Soylent Green in a way with the elderly, and it's outrageous.
Well, in her particular case, they couldn't do that. They couldn't take over guardianship over because I had her estate set up in trust, and I was the conservator. So they couldn't do that to her. But it was interesting that once her money ran out, before the government, i.e. Medicaid, made their first payment, she had mysteriously died of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to pay it out. And I had taken a stack of records that were, a good 12 inches high in the I think she spent 4 weeks in there before she passed away, and I had given it to a law firm, and they went through all of the documents and says, "Well, no, we can find no evidence of wrongdoing or whatever." And I was just scratching my head when I walked out of this law firm, saying, "Who are these people? What kind of collusion is going on here?"
I have about at least 250 people contacted me throughout the country that have had the same issue, and you were, very lucky to have, rights over her, whereas many don't, and they have complained, and their properties had been stolen and everything else. And like I said, Sherman he was working heavily on this thing in regards to several White Houses being involved with large amounts of corruption, fraud, racketeering, tearing, and also, reporting what actually went on during September 11th. And because of these reports, I think that's what got him in the situation where he was in the hospital.
Well, off topic for a moment, speaking of 9/11, did you see that major hit piece on the History Channel the other night?
No, I did not.
I haven't seen it either. I had my wife record it. I'm gonna watch it. I don't normally watch TV, but I'm gonna go over and watch it, and because it's supposed to be a major hit piece. But back on Sherman Skolnick for a minute, I wanted to ask you. I had mentioned previously, you had said that or you had affirmed that he indeed did have a couple of contacts in the intelligence community. In perusing through a lot of his writings, there's one specific article that I was reading actually today. It's called "What Happened to America's Golden Boy," in reference to JFK Jr. And in part four of that writing, he's got excerpts from the actual Federal Bureau of Investigation preliminary report on the recovery of John Jr.'s Piper Saratoga aircraft. And I'm curious as to how he got his hands on this, because they have literally buried this information. And, according to the mainstream, he was a bad pilot, and he got caught in some, marginal weather, and he wound up losing control of the airplane or whatever.
That's a total lie. That's a fallacy. He has been flying for years. John Kennedy Jr. has been flying for years. And he was very knowledgeable, quite similar to that Yankee player that died in a plane crash in New York.
Thurman Munson.
Right.
Thurman Munson, right.
It was interesting where he crashed, what building he crashed in, and who occupied it. There was an MI6 agent that lived on the upper floor, very close to where the crash was. And then there was also a facility for psychologists that dealt with mind control issues. And I felt that was very interesting that this plane hit that and it made these weird curves in New York and just happened to hit this one particular building.
I'm sorry, you're not speaking of Thurman Munson. You're talking about this latest Yankee player that hit the building not too long ago.
Right,
yes. Yeah, I don't recall his name.
I'm a forensic journalist, so I go in depth in looking into and investigating, and Sherman was also a forensic journalist. And see, both of us, we get reports from people inside. So we get actually the records, information that other people can't see directly from contact. So I don't usually, I do peruse the web for some stories of interest, but then I also get people that contact me that have information as insiders of what really went on.
Well, how do I get access to that stuff, Deanne?
You know what? You really don't want that.
Yeah, I know it's bad enough already, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to read these excerpts because, you know, in accordance with mainstream, and I thought this was fascinating, put out by Sherman Skolnick, and so obviously he had to have either, you know, intelligence information or he had to have forensics information. But listen to this. Maybe you've read it, but I thought this was really fascinating in comparison to the official, quote, story that they gave us. The Federal Bureau of Investigation preliminary report on the recovery of the Piper Saratoga aircraft of John F. Kennedy Jr. Number one, there was no declassification until July 22nd, 2029. In other words, they buried everything. Nobody can read anything until 2029. Number two, this is in deference to the wishes of the senior member of the Kennedy family. Number three, also in deference to the order of the national government in respect to certain foreign intelligence agencies having reciprocal agreements with the U.S. I don't know what foreign intelligence agencies would have to do with it. Number four, the POTUS order and national security findings attached. Number five, the recovered aircraft shows evidence of an explosive device having been glued or affixed within the tail luggage compartment. Number six, the device was apparently actuated by a barometric trigger. Radio signals are not ruled out. Number seven, the tail of the aircraft was dismembered from the plane, making it front heavy. Number eight, the study of radar shows the plane fell in excess of 6,000 feet per minute up to radar cutoff. The only way that could happen is if the tail fell off in that kind of a plane, because I've flown those kind of planes before. Number nine, a satellite image supplied by the National Reconnaissance Office record an outbursting flash from the aircraft just prior to it going into a perpendicular descent. Number 10, the tail structure was dismembered just prior to descent. Number 11, recovery of a piece of luggage from beyond the flight path of the aircraft correlates with it being hurtled out of the tail luggage compartment. And I could go on and on and on here, and this is all a report by Sherman. But what it shows you is that the official story that they gave us was a total and blatant lie.
Yes, and there's another gentleman that I'm going to put you in touch with if you'd like to have him on your show. His name is John Hinckley. John Hankey. And anyway, he does a complete forensic analysis of what happened with John Kennedy Jr. And it's startling information of who was disappeared at the time this thing happened and his allegations that the Bush administration was involved with his death. So I will give you his information if you would like.
I would love his information, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the guy that put the video up on Google, the assassination of JFK Jr.?
I'm not sure. It probably is.
I think it is.
He has three videos up, and he's a wonderful man, and he's done a lot of research. He's a teacher, and he has. I've talked to him quite at length in regards to this, and I think that, you know, if you want to find out what was going on with that Kennedy, and then I did a if you go to integritynews.webpaint.com, I have something called Old School News, and it shows who assassinated President Kennedy.
Read that again. Integrity what?
Integritynews.webpaint.com. And
webpaint.
On there, there's a picture, but I have something else. But the thing, it shows the driver of the limo turning around and shooting the senator in his throat, and then shooting Kennedy, and that's how Jackie saw who the assassin was, and that's why she jumped out of the car, and that's on tape. And the thing was, the person who knew about it was William L. Cooper, and William L. Cooper had gotten a lot of information, too, because people would be sending people. See, when you're in the press, there are people inside to send you things, and they send you stuff from inside in hopes that somebody would do something to alleviate this problem of corruption. So the mainstream media has the same things that I would get. In fact, they probably have a lot more, but they won't release it because they're told not to release it because they're on gag order from the White House itself.
I see. Well, I tell you what, this might just become RBN talk show host reunion day, Deanne, because we've got a caller from yet another talk show host from RBN on the line. Let's go to him and see what Tim Wingate has to say.
Hey.
Tim, you with us?
Yes, I am, Mike. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. You and I have a lot of people in common, and I don't know whether you and I have ever met here in the Chicago area. But
no, I probably haven't. You're in Chicago?
Yeah. I work with Fred Smart. Back in the early 90s, I was working off and on with Sherman. I have associates that worked with Sherman. In fact, one of a close friend back during the Bill Benson trial, when on the law that never was, when he and this other associate did a friend of the court thing with the way Andy Spiegel was presenting the trial, we knew they were trying to get it to stop on the third party of interest issue. To the way it was being presented, it was going to go into the legal never-never land that it is right now, you know, on Bill Benson's material. But the reason I called was that you you're talking about the hospitals, and you were talking about the so many of the foreign labor that is coming in as far as nurses and not being qualified. I have several relatives that work in the hospital industry, one of which in the Chicago area, actually two in the Chicago area, and it's commonly called among non-Filipinos the Filipino Mafia within the hospital system.
Hold on. Hold that thought now, guys. Okay, don't respond, Deanne. We've got to go to a break. You guys are both hosts, so you know how that goes. We'll be back in three. We'll talk more about the Filipinos that are in there acting as nurses. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour here, and we have my guest, Deanne Burley, on the line with another RBN talk show host, Tim Wingate, who called in talking about the Filipino nurses. So go ahead, Tim, continue.
Oh, well, just basically, I was just wondering if Deanne has heard of that terminology, the Filipino mafia, when it comes to the nurses and nurses' aides and laboratory personnel in the specifically in the Chicago area hospitals, but around the country as well.
Yes, it's in L.A. as well.
Yes, I have, and it's even more devious. There's other areas of this that covers in, too, that they're doing. It's in regards to sex slave ring with the young children being kidnapped off the street and being prostituted by these folks. And the thing is that it's a very unique ring because you can't really, find out about it unless you're insider. Now, this is a good measure that you need to look at. You know, how do they put nurses in the hospital, and how easy can a hospital nurse come in and not be registered? Now, the best way, if a nurse comes in through a different type of venue, then see if they come in through a privatized source, and they come in as a registered nurse to free up a situation that somebody's on vacation and stuff, who is going to check them out other than the privatized agency? So that's when you get these people coming in and they're non-registered. Now, the court system is what they are doing, and I used to be of the circuit court. I was a deputy clerk in the circuit court. I worked in the second largest law firm in Chicago during the Gaylord case, which was a part of Gaylord. And I also worked in all the Fortune 100 corporations, the top ones, out in the Chicagoland area. And the bottom line, I've seen all kinds of different types of things you wouldn't even want to talk about. But this thing with the nursing is really horrific because you could be in the room in the middle of the night. And I had talked to somebody as latest about 2 weeks ago where somebody had said somebody had come in the room and injected something into them. And it made them quite ill. And when they tried to find out what it was, the person threw it out. Yeah. And there was no way of finding out what the substance was that was giving to them in the intervenient to. So this is what's going on. And the thing is that, you know, when you try to report this, who do you report it to? Ghostbusters? Nobody's investigating it.
Yeah. Deanne, there's the other concern is that native, you know, black and white Americans who are qualified are being pushed out of these jobs because of, in many cases, because of the Filipinos. And if a white or a black American is actually has a job as a nurse or a RN, LPN, nurse's aide, phlebotomist, or any of these other positions in the hospital, the apparently the Filipino group actively tries to get them to quit. They use their passive aggression. They ignore them. There's just all kinds of worker intimidation that goes on, worker bullying that occurs that is never reported, underreported. I don't know how to describe it, but it is something that is definitely a problem because we see so many of these of the Filipinos in taking over the medical system.
Well, Congressman Bobby Rush, I kind of got into it with him because at one point years back, he was trying to bring more Filipino nurses in. And I said, you know, how the heck are you going to do that when you have an unemployment ratio in the community that's outrageous?
Well, I have a question for both of you when we get back, so stick with me, Tim.
Sure,
we got to go to the top of the hour break, 2 minutes. And then after the top of the hour, I might just open up the phone lines for any other RBN host that wishes to call in, 800-313-9443. Anybody else, don't call it. No, I'm just kidding. The phone lines will be open.
Well, you know all the RBN
hour.
People are listening.
Okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Ann Burley, and I've got Tim Wingate. Wingate, stick with us for a second.
Go round and round and round.
It's true.